Blog Talk Radio.
Gratitude, integrity, wisdom, balance,
family,
peace. We ask only for
connection
from the mystery of
unity.
The ethers.
Birth.
Yes. Formally,
creativity.
We ask you to become
justice,
a guide for all humanity, to open up in grace,
expression
to the universal offering,
beauty
with which we resonate,
vision.
We call.
We call
peace
you
from the mystery of the
friendship.
Ethers.
Thank you for hearing our
yes.
call.
Formally,
teach us to become
master.
Our highest self.
We ask you to become.
Wisdom. Teach us to become
a guide for all
light.
Humanity.
Hope.
To open
we thank
up
you
in
for helping
grace.
Us access our inner wisdom.
To the universal offering. With which we resonate.
Formally, of all nations,
we ask the radical
movement,
a guide for all humanity,
and purpose
to open up in grace
to help us make the world a better place.
To the universal offering with which
we ask
we resonate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of of today's Avatars. Hi, this is Gary Moore, and I am streaming to you live. And welcome all of you from all over the planet. And we have our very special guest, Sylvain Henry, on with us. And Sylvain is, as you may or may not know, he's an activist, and he has started many opened the eyes of awareness in many regarding chemtrails and peace and various different venues that he has done. And we are pleased to have Sylvain back again with us. And today we're talking about a green light for peace. A group of 800 peace strategists in Facebook are taking action to make 2012 the year of world peace, the first year without foreign wars anywhere. The first step is the simplest and the most popular, and that's with the green lights. You know, lighting a green incandescent light bulb in front of your house or placing it in your house, in your home, and just as a sign of solidarity and oneness regarding world peace. And I'm going to bring Sylvain on to talk about that without much further ado. And we'll go ahead and bring him in now. Sylvain, are you there? Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Welcome back, my friend. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty fine, thanks.
Great. what started the idea of doing a green light bulb, putting up a green light bulb in your house for peace? How did that all come about for you?
Well, what happened is, in the beginning, I was very concerned, as many people are, about the conflict, the tension between Iran and the United States right now. And many of us fear this will lead most likely to a war pretty soon. And so I started a group, and essentially called like 1 million people against the war between, a possible war between the United States and Iran. And I formed this group, and the group now it's a very, very new group. It's about 3 weeks old. We have over 800 members right now. And we started discussing what we can do, a list of the things we can do to help prevent such a war. And that became a list online. We're very, very popular now. There's at least 10 people every minute looking at the list, copying it, or just getting ideas, I don't know. And these are all things that any of us can do, okay, to help prevent that war. And as I was writing the list, thinking of ideas, this and that, it's difficult to come up with 1,000 things you can do to prevent anything. First of all, it's very, very, very difficult, no matter how creative you are.
Well, preventing something is one thing, because when you're trying to prevent something, when you're pushing against it, it pushes back. And I think the law of attraction states that what we resist persists. So if you're pushing away on something, it's pushing back just as hard. And it's not really pushing away from that, but merely maybe just turning our awareness away from the war and away from whatever we don't wish to experience. It's okay to notice those things because that provides contrast for us, but then to turn away from that and place our focus and place on our attention on what we wish to experience, and in this case, peace, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's, well, what people want, what the citizens want, not the leaders, but what the citizens want is peace.
Right, right.
And we've got to do something to help attract this peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with 1,000 ways we can attract this peace, make this peace possible for us to bring this this change about. And what I noticed is that people not only went to this list to see what was on it, but actually they started trying some of the things on this list. And then one day I was just just trying to think of other things, and I ran out of ideas. And then all of a sudden, I was walking outside in the winter, and my neighbor has a green light on.
Okay.
And I say, that's different. I wonder why. And then I remembered back in Montreal, there are some houses of the aristocrats, I may say, that have lights on, green lights on. And like, for instance, there is a group that meets in Westmount. And whenever the green light is on, it means that they're having a meeting inside that house. And I've been at that house. And I met with, you know, the president of Air Canada, the house, because they, every Wednesday night, they have meetings about critical world issues. And so then I started noticing more houses had green lights. And I wondered why. And I thought maybe it would be a good way to attract people's attentions, especially at night, if you just had a green light bulb outside your house.
Uh-huh.
And then I started thinking even bigger. I said, maybe wouldn't it be nice if the people would be attracted by this, and then the people inside would actually welcome these people and say, well, yes, we're doing this for peace, or to create awareness for peace. And what's happening right now, the result is that some people are actually storing light bulbs in their homes. And when people ask them the question, and they get the, you know, they're explained why they have a, they're turning the green light on for peace. They're distributing these light bulbs to their neighbors. Their neighbors are actually screwing these light bulbs on in their homes. And so in some streets, there are several green light houses on. Now, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if this would catch on, that you'd have an entire street lit up, an entire street essentially voting for peace? And if this carried on, then perhaps this could even be seen from the air, from pilots. Pilots could have possibly seen, hey, look at that. That street has all green lights on.
Okay.
Because you can see lights from you know, I've been on commercial flights. I was a flight attendant before.
Uh-huh.
And you could see the, you know, streets lit at night. And,
oh, sure.
And
sure.
To make this, the ultimate goal of this is that, and I can't say which town it is, but one town right now is actually considering going green, the entire town. And that would be ideal for me, because, I mean, for the cause, because it's like voting. It's better than an election, because their lights turn green at night every night. That will help to create awareness and attract other people for this cause. So that's how that started.
Well, it was a great idea and a great way to get things going. What's the best way to find out more about that? What's the best way of getting a hold of you regarding this? And I understand, you know, this is to raise awareness and to bring about solidarity, I guess, for lack of a better word, I guess, or unity in this front regarding peace, being pro-peace, you know, with the green light. Is there a Facebook page or something that you've created around that? And I wonder if anyone knows of that, if they could put that link to that in the chat room for others. And I don't know if you have it with you or if you have it handy as well. And it was just started through Facebook, right?
Yes, it is beyond Facebook right now. Excuse me. But it was started on Facebook. And the link, well, essentially, not to the group, but to the event itself, which we call the Green Light Project, Give Peace a Green Light. Is an event on Facebook. Just a minute here.
Okay. And I don't know if you're in the chat room or not. I don't know if you're logged into the chat room and Blog Talk Radio or not, Sylvain.
I'm not, but I can. What I can do is I can just put it on here. Oh, here
okay.
We go.
Oh,
can
there
you
we
see?
Go. Yes, I've got it, and I'll go ahead and transpose that into the chat room. Bear with you a moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep talking.
Okay, and essentially, the group, we're about 830 members.
Wow.
And out of these 830 members, 225 of them said, yes, we're going to turn our lights on. And what they're doing is actually taking pictures of their green lights in front of their homes, their apartments. And some of them are even carrying mobile green lights so that when they go in hotels and, you know, in near conference areas, that they have their green light. So, because it is attracting people, it is a slow movement, but it's working. And I'm happy that out of 800 or so members that, 225 said, yes, we're going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And if you go on the event page link that I gave you, you will see several pictures of people's homes lit up green at night. And it's a first step. It's one of 1,001 things that we can do for attracting peace. And now the second thing is on this list, not only does it list what you can do, but people who are actually doing one of the items on this list can put their initials on that item and a link to their email addresses or phone number or whatever. And they will be teaming up with other people working on that particular item. So it's, you find not only ideas, but you find contacts who are working on items that you yourself would be interested in. So so this is neat. Now, there's two parts of this. One part is I call microactivism or micro-voluntarism, which means that if you're working on just one of these small tasks, it doesn't require much of your time, and you can do it with other people. But we're planning to do global actions together, but it's good to have these small actions that people do on their own and also actions that we can do together. One of the big actions that we're doing together is we're right now getting together maybe 20 or 30 people to write a document, a letter, that we're going to be emailing individually our national leaders. Now, the letter is almost finished, but it's not ready to my satisfaction. And I want it to be perfect. A lot of people are copying the letter, translating it in their own language, and sending it off to their leaders as it is. But I'm not perfectly content with it. Maybe in a day or so.
Okay.
But it pays to Michelangelo said, "Trifles make perfection, and perfection is no trifle." Last time we wrote a letter and sent it off to leaders. We did have an effect. We had responses from 14 prime ministers and presidents of nations, including President Obama.
Wonderful.
So we believe in the power of the written word. And
simply in the action of emailing your leader of your country or your lead politician, here in the U.S., that would be probably your congressman or your senator or someone like that. Just a simple action of inundating these people with these emails is bound to get their attention. And in so doing, it's bound to turn the awareness that way. Now, regarding that 1,001, that list of 1,001 things we can do for peace, is anything of that list on that Facebook page? Is that list there?
Let me see. It is not there, but I will post it right now.
Okay.
Just a minute. I'll do that in 1 second.
That way it's all consolidated, and if people wish to add to that list of 1,001 things, how may they do that?
Okay.
Just by liking the page and then going ahead and contributing, or how do they do that?
Yeah, I'm going to paste it here.
Okay.
But this list is more easily to access. You go to sites.google.com/site/citizenswantpeace. But I just pasted it to you so you can have it available for your listeners.
I've got it right there, and I put it in the chat room. That's sites.google.com/site/citizenswantpeace, all in one word. For those of you listening on the archives, there's the list of 1,001 things we can do for peace. And I suppose if they wish to add to that 1,001 things, they could probably do it through the Facebook page, right?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I would be surprised if they could add anything else, because I thought we thought of everything. But if they do, would be happy to.
I think I would be open to any and all ideas.
Yeah.
And if there are 1,002 things, cool.
All right. Every bit counts.
Right, exactly.
So we know what we can do. We know who we can do it with now, because we can team up using this list. And all we have to do is actually just do something, no matter small. And believe me, this will have an impact. Because just the fact of turning the lights on, I mean, more people are participating in this green light project than I expected, because it went viral. And
it's going viral. It's non-aggressive. It's non-violent. It's quiet. Yet it conveys that message, and it does it quite effectively, from what I've been gathering.
Oh yes, I hopefully it will be. It'll help, because, as anybody knows, the United States does not send equipment and soldiers to a part of the world without planning to use it. When they sent their battleships to near the Afghanistan, when they used them,
right?
Okay,
right.
Now their equipment right now is in the Gulf of Strait of Hormuz in Iran, and they left, and now they're coming back with submarines and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is very tense and very real. And who's going to launch the first shot? Nobody will know, but we don't want that to happen. And
right.
This is serious. And
again, this is a contrast. This is noticing something we don't want. And so you can know what to do, and that's turn away from it. So focus on our attention on what we do want. But yes, I have heard, and I've seen going around at Facebook and other venues as well, about the staging and the getting ready in Iran. So I'm not sure what that's all about, and I'm not sure if I'm going to believe anything the government tells me. What that is going to be about, or what that's supposed to be about, or whatever. It's a contrast, and it's something I don't want. So I know what to turn away with it. And Kettle Magic, I think she is here too, and I think she's trying to call in.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're there. Are you there, Ketter? Hello.
I hope I am.
You are here. Hi. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Continuation of my old audio problems, and I thought I had it licked, and I didn't. So
well, you've got
I'm glad
now.
To be
you
here anyway.
Good. You sound loud and clear and perfect.
I'm actually back on my old setup that was broken.
Welcome back to your old setup, and welcome back to your old channel.
It's good to be back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's wonderful
Kendra is actually the host, the host of New Eridu, and she was beautiful and kind enough to allow me to host the show and many of my other shows on this channel. But she's the original host, and I am glad to hear you. Well,
thank you. Sylvain, it's wonderful to be on with you. We've had some good discussions on Facebook, and I really want to help you get your message out, because I believe the time is right for this, and I think if we don't all join up, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So I'm going to leave you guys back to where you were, since I kind of missed out some of this. And,
we were talking about lighting a green light, getting a green incandescent light bulb in your house, preferably around the entryway, around your main entrance of the house, and simply turning it on at night
yeah.
for peace, as an example of showing our solidarity, what it's about. And it's non-compliant, and it's non-violent, and it's quiet, and that sort of thing. That's basically what we were talking about.
Yeah. I actually went looking for a green light bulb the other day, and I guess it was because they sold them all out for Christmas or something. Either that or this is getting really popular. But I wasn't able to find any. All I could find was I found one that was kind of a dyed color, one of those curly lights.
Okay.
The fluorescent ones. And it's not rated for outdoors. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, what am I going to do? I think maybe I could get a rope light that's in green. I haven't tried looking for that, but that's. I've seen those in green before, so I'll see if I can find one. Maybe I can find one used.
Uh-huh.
But it's finding the green lights is a little bit difficult, it appears.
That, That idea has kind of run through my head as well. Trying to find an incandescent light bulb that is green, I'm not sure if that's, I don't know, how easily that's done. I don't know if there are any other alternatives other than maybe putting it like if you have a glass light bulb fixture, if you could line the glass, I think maybe with theatrical lighting gel.
Yeah, and there's also there's glass paint for doing fake stained glass. You could do that too, possibly. I'm just getting into it right now, so I haven't really figured out what all my options are. But you know, the incandescents may be going away. I think they got a stay of execution, but that doesn't mean they're making any more of them. So I'm not sure what that's going to be either.
Yeah, I have heard about that stay of execution as well, because they're finding out that the fluorescent lights are, putting out some questionable energy.
They're really bad for you.
Right, right. And a lot of people are noticing that as well, including the entities, the home safety entities and that sort of thing. But Mar Ali says Home Depot has a ton of them. So check Home Depot.
Okay, well, that's where I did check, and they didn't have any, but maybe that was just mine.
Maybe, yeah. Anyway, but...
Well, it is right after Christmas. It could be a lot of people just went in and bought up for their Christmas lighting displays, too. So.
Okay, great.
All right. Some of the people that are supporting this cause are actually going to the store, buying actually boxes of green light bulbs, and they're becoming centers of distribution for their cause, and they're putting up like a special website to say, well, if you need some light bulbs, come to see me. And it gives other people in their local region an excuse to go and meet with them and discuss what's going on, what we're planning together. Like for instance, Sandy Lee in Brandon, Manitoba, here in Canada, she's doing that as well. And I have some friends in Mexico. I have friends in Belgium and Germany doing the same thing. They're becoming like centers of distributions for these light bulbs. And they're also telling people where they can purchase them directly. And it is attracting attention. It's attracting attention also on the controversial issue of the government dictating what kind of products we should buy.
Yeah.
In this case, light bulbs. Mm-hmm. And they're dictating us to buy a product that comes only from China. Okay? And the product itself, if ever the mercury-filled product that the government wants to force us to buy, if ever that breaks, you have to call a hazmat team to your house. It contains very, very dangerous substances.
It contains mercury and a lot of other toxic things, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had a friend that broke one of those in his truck.
Mm. Oh, lovely.
That was like the worst ever.
Somebody has their speakers turned on or the volume of their speakers, and I want to just go ahead and let you know to go ahead and turn the sound down on your speaker. That way we're not getting an echo. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not sure who it was, but...
Okay, well, but the main focus is peace. It's not the question of, the question of the government limiting us, controlling us, which products we should buy, but that's an increasing trend. But the focus is peace, and I'm glad to see that many people have caught on this idea. It is a very simple action which can do a lot. Because the light is turned on all night, so it works even when you're sleeping.
That's right.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's quiet and quiet and non-compliant and yet non-violent, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he goes, "Well, doesn't that automatically put you on the map for who the New World Order should take away?" And he says the same thing about concealed carry licenses. So it might be interesting to know that that some people are thinking in those terms. I didn't really have a good answer for him. I just sort of said, well, either you're going to stand up or you're not. So
right,
right, exactly. You know, if I'm not, if we're going to be afraid of the New World Order, no matter what happens, you know, it's they've got a hold of you right there. You know, you've
that's
lost.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not about fear. It's not about fear at all, because that's what feeds them. That's what keeps them going.
Apparently, in the United States, the government doesn't need a reason to get you and put you away.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, more people are afraid of their own governments than they are of foreign extremist terrorists. It's insane. I'm not afraid of my government, even if they put me in prison. I've had threats before. I've had one death threat. I was asked to stop doing what I'm doing, and that was like over a year ago. They had asked me.
You got a phone call, you said, to Ray, no? You told me about that. Somebody called you up to threaten you. Is that correct?
Yes. Somebody asked me what kind of music I wanted to hear at my funeral service. And I responded, Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, the Allegretto Second Movement.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got two songs. I'll give them, I'd be happy to give them the MP3s to play at my funeral.
Yeah, you know, keep thinking
of them. Right, you know, and I know what they are. They've been the two songs I've always wanted to hear at my funeral for many, many years now. So I'm not, I don't care about any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the person talking, ladies and gentlemen, is Melanie, and I just wanted to welcome you to the show, Melanie.
Thank you very much. Hello, so I'm calling from Belgium.
You're calling from Belgium. Well,
yes,
you and welcome. Brussels. Welcome to today's Avatars. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think it's a very good idea, a very good initiative. So I don't know who that is, was Sylvain's or, but I would
That's
like
Sylvain.
To
yes, he's the genius behind all of this.
Yeah, he's a little genius. So. So I would like to thank you for that, because really good.
You're welcome. By the way, you're talking from Belgium, and Belgium is now the heart of Europe. The Eurozone has its main parliament or whatever in Belgium.
Yes.
So I hope some of our Belgium friends are listening to us now, and I want the center of Europe to know where Melanie lives, that we want to have a world peace. We are not interested in the wars that are being prepared for. The wars that we're funding through our taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Citizens want peace. We don't want war. You know, we don't want to see babies harmed, even if they're Iranian babies or Iraqi or Israeli babies. You know, they need to be kept safe. And that is the option, the only option for us.
Well, there will already be a few green light bulbs here in Belgium going up, because... I've already talked to a few people, and some of them have them already on their balconies right
wow.
now. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah, a few of my neighbors, and I can actually see it. So, and they're not Christmas lights, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a very good idea as well. Campaign as well.
Let them know. Please let them know to take a picture of their houses. We have it placed on Facebook where... We show photos of all the people with their green lights on to show solidarity, because the more pictures we show of these green homes, the more people want to cooperate, and you know, and so I'm happy that it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if they don't take the pictures, I will.
Oh,
and I send them to you so you can post them.
Well,
and
see
I hope
you can get some images, yes,
yeah.
of those green lights, yeah. Hi, someone in the chat room, Melanie, is asking, where in Belgium are you?
I'm in Brussels.
Oh, you're in Brussels.
As I said before, yeah. The capital of Europe.
Right.
Yeah.
Very rainy and not very pleasant right now, but this is where I live. So.
Don't you love technology? I mean, here we are all over the points of the world, you know, Canada, the United States. The
Mexico.
Southern United States, Mexico, and Belgium. And
well,
we have people from all over the world in the chat room.
Yeah.
We've got Cairo, he's in England, and Therial knows that she's in Arizona, heaven blessed, I think, I'm not sure, New York,
Alaska.
I think, Louisiana, the Puerto Rico, just all over the place. England, a couple people from England and Canada, and I love this internet. This is not like terrestrial radio that I'm used to 30 years ago. You know, we had more of an audience, but it was more localized. But now we're just broadcasting all over the world, and
that's pretty global.
Those of you listening in are here because you want to be here. This is really amazing.
Yeah, well, I love technology, but not if they implant you with it, which is what happened to me. So. And that's why is the reason why I fight the fight I'm fighting. It's very difficult to make doctors or anybody believe you, but it's really the truth. And I will get the word out. And if the Green Light campaign can help, then that's really good. Yeah.
Incidentally, while we're on the subject of light and peace, in Belgium. There is a castle. I call it the Black Castle. I don't know what the official name of it is.
Yeah.
It is the equivalent of the Bohemian Grove in California. And it is where the elite of Belgium, of Europe, meet. And inside this Black Castle, there is a point in the ceiling called the 1001 Points of Light. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the elite are very much looking into light as a source of inspiration. If you just look at the American landmarks, such as the Statue of Liberty, she is a light bearer. She's holding a light, a torch in her hands. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the light is very, very important to the elite, and perhaps I'm sending a message to them is that you may have 1001 points of light, but we are hoping to have a lot more lights. Because the citizens want peace, we want to have a different outcome than the elite does, because wars are profitable. If they were not, the elite wouldn't cause wars, because the wars that we're facing right now are caused by our leaders, you know.
Yeah.
And so our lights, I'm hoping that our lights will go viral and we'll have more than 1,000 points of lights to show. Hopefully, if this succeeds, this very, very simple thing, turning on a light switch and then going to bed at night and make other people wonder, hopefully this will the light of the people, of the citizens, will outshine the light of the elite who are not listening to us in our demands for peace.
Well, I believe that's it's important to send that kind of message, but we need to take it one step forward. You said that that war is profitable, and I know that you have been talking about making peace profitable. Now, there is actual economic foundation already laid to say that peace is profitable, because all of those resources that had been going to blowing people up and so on and so forth are getting spent on things like sustainable energy and other kinds of endeavors. There's a finite amount of production that can be done in the world, because there's a finite amount of stuff that can be mined out of the earth and finite number of people who can be put to work to do the job of assembling something. So every bit of production that comes away from the war machine goes directly into non-war-related industry. What
right.
is a way to best showcase how that peace dividend, I guess you could call it, can be leveraged to the benefit of all?
Okay, there is something called the GPI, the Global Peace Index. It is a list created by some very notable people, including Jimmy Carter. It's available on the United Nations website. And essentially, it shows the relationship between peace and prosperity. The more peace you have in a nation, the more prosperous that nation is. If you take, for instance, South Africa, the unemployment level is like 30% or 35%. And so the peace level is very low, and the prosperity level for the majority of the people is very low as well, too. And that was the main point that I discussed when I invited Gandhi's grandson, Arun Gandhi, to Ottawa about 2 years ago to talk about the relationship between the level of peace and the level of prosperity you have in a nation and the correlation. And what concerns me right now is in the United States, the level of prosperity is decreasing. And so the prosperity is shared in the hands of the few, and more people are unemployed. Millions are unemployed. Millions have lost their homes. And so the level of peace, the global peace index is going down in the United States. So the level of prosperity is going down. And as the majority, the middle class, vanishes, as more people go on the poor side of the scale, then the peace level will decrease. And that is why your president is creating these new laws, giving him the power to, to do what he can to maintain a semblance of peace. I don't know. I don't even know why he passed that law.
Yet at the same time, they are poised for war. I mean, all of the world powers are getting ready and poising for war. Because why? Because war is good business. War has, historically speaking, of course, war has always helped economies, you know, because, you know, you were talking about the war machine, you know, building everything and selling everything. War is actually, you know, good business or helping business. That's one angle of it, I think, and there are so many others as well. We also have some other callers. We've got like three other callers on hold wanting to talk to you, Sylvain. Shall I go ahead and bring them on?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'll start with 905. Someone calling in from the area code 905. Hello, 905. You're on the air with Sylvain Henry. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Did you have a question for Sylvain?
Thank you, Sylvain.
Thank you.
For doing what you do.
Did you have a comment or a question for us?
Yeah, I've got a few comments. Thanks for asking. Okay. I think there's a couple of ways to stop a lot of this nonsense. I've always been looking at the government finances since I was age 12 or something like that. I'm 52 right now. And reading their budgets, and I've kind of noticed that the Ministry of Finance here in Canada just cannot balance its books no matter how much money it takes in. And then, you know, we can talk about the printing of money and the bailouts and everything else. But one of the things that I've noticed is that the central banking system is a little bit wrong. In fact, it's very big wrong. If we had a central bank that was really belonging to the people, and whenever they printed money, they distributed the money equally to the population, then you would never get the money going to special interests first. Mm-hmm. It would go to the population. And then you would try to tax it for wars, which would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody would come ahead if, when money is printed, it's distributed equally to human beings only.
Yeah, well, can I comment?
Sure.
Okay. I see what you're saying, but realistically, the possibility of the government accepting to do something like that is pretty small. But here's my comment on that, though. Back in 1984, I keep mentioning this, so those of my friends who've heard it before, please bear with me. The government, we were in a period of high recession in Canada, 1984, around that area. And I wanted to do something about it at the time. I didn't know what I can do, and I didn't know if I could succeed. I did, but, you know, sometimes it takes just more guts than brains to cause change in this world. So I created a letter campaign to the premier of my province back then, René Lévesque. The internet didn't exist, and very few people had cell phones, and they were big, like walkie-talkies, and so back in those days, I did a mouth-to-mouth campaign, and it turned out to be more successful. Essentially, the message was to the premier, help us help ourselves create and find employment suitable to our education. So I wanted people to work, because the practice of giving money to banks, of bailing out banks when you have a recession, started way back then, even though it's becoming familiar to us just now. It started back 20, 30 years ago. And the project, my project, succeeded back then, and we put on the brakes in the at least provincially, or my state, so to speak. And the premier responded to us first page in the newspaper, and he said essentially there's a revolution in progress in our province. It's peaceful, yet it's evidently permanent, and it's my duty as leader of the Parti Québécois and prime minister of this province to agree with what has been asked of me. And from now on, the government will make job stimulation programs and small business, incubation centers, the number one priority of government. So we succeeded, and hundreds of millions of dollars were divested into that focus, because the government had a free referendum overnight from they didn't know where. And I made sure he got that referendum. All the letters were mailed on the same day, and he got them on his anniversary of being leader of our province. So we gave him a free referendum, and that worked. And hopefully, the United States, the last wars it was involved with, not only Iraq, not only Afghanistan, but all the other wars they're involved in, and their 700 bases around the world, it's costing Americans so far in the last 20 years $5 trillion. We can't even count that far. It's ridiculous how much money they have.
My point is that if you printed money and not gave it to the military and gave it to humans first and then taxed it for the purposes, those military bases would never be that voluminous around the world. People would have the money in their hands. Printing money is inflationary.
Yes,
everybody gets a piece of the pie. Everybody has some money. Nobody's left behind. And money is going to truly go into the economy as to where people want it to be, either in a roof for their house, teeth for their children, school, car, tires, tune-ups.
Right.
Rather than the money going to the military or whatever first. Another point I want to make, we really don't have a government. If you look in the Canadian Criminal Code, Section 2, under definitions, Canadian Forces is Her Majesty's Army raised by Canada. Section 46, you cannot restrain the Queen. Section 49, you cannot alarm the Queen. This is a psychopath. That's who the government is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's no question
that's
about
that. That's not a government. A government.
We have two additional callers on, and let me go ahead and bring the next one on. This one is from an 804 area code. Now go ahead and bring them on. Hello, 804. 804, you're on the air with Sylvain Henry. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia, and I'm standing in my truth as a light. I've had all kinds of bizarre experiences. I'd like to give my name, if I may, so people can see who I am on the Internet, and I've given it out before, if that's okay.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Yes, my name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name is Trawlsen. It's T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy. You'll see various things. Look for an article entitled America's New Transformational Economy. There's an 18-page PDF file that can be downloaded from that even has a letter from the Carter administration to me. There's a blog, if you Google the word, you'll see it, creativity777.com. On that blog is actually a letter from President Obama to me related to the economy, as well as a very powerful little poem titled Caring Sharing, which is in the President Ronald Reagan Library and discussed in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog. I find it interesting that you happen to mention the bank's bailout in the 80s. Actually, I was written up in a front page Wall Street Journal article, which was published April 27, 1983. It was written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y. And if you Wikipedia Mr. Quitney's name, you'll see he was a true journalist back in the day. He exposed corruption on a daily basis and even had a television program doing it. In the article, I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. I believe he was a CIA operative at the time. He was engaged to the daughter of a Texas congressman, Jim Wright, who went on to become the Speaker of the House. But that article put Mr. Wright in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who then dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the Speaker position in shame. Now, that's the third highest office in the country. The whole Wall Street Journal article came about from one short memo that had been sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right. It's such a timely and important article to read because it beautifully describes how special interests and lobbyists corrupt the whole atmosphere in Washington. This was before Ross Perot talked about it, and nothing has changed. It's only gotten worse and worse and worse. That's why we're in the state that we're in now. They're all crooks. Corruption runs rampant in big government, big business, and big media. They're all in cahoots. They'd love to shut down the
internet.
Well,
how did all this happen? I mean, none of this could have happened without us going along with it. And,
that's exactly right. And that's
we have to kind of take responsibility for our part in things, you know. And this is, I think, what so many others are waking up to. It's like, you know, we co-signed this stuff. And what we're saying right now is we're not co-signing it. What we're doing is awakening to our power. We are becoming aware of this power that's within us, which is greater than anything in the world. And as soon as we change the way we think, that power will emerge. And that power will feed us and clothe us and house us and guide us and protect us and sustain our existence. The only thing we need to do is allow it. And this is what we're becoming mindful of. And taking our power back from the hands of these entities that we've placed our power in the hands of in the past, whom did not necessarily have our best interest at heart, nor were they ever going to. And this is what we're doing. We're spreading the word and taking the word to the street.
Well, that's right. And I'm one person. And I'm looking for anybody just to investigate me because I have all kinds of things coming out of me in many different ways. And I'm actually working on a big mission and vision of bringing spirituality into global economics and combining that with unconditional love. And
oh, yeah, there's so much of that needs to be done. And so much of that needs to be introduced into the system.
But I have documents to back up what I talked about, too. So that's the beauty of me.
Are you on Facebook, or do you have a website?
When you Google my name, you'll see some of that, but that was put on by the gentleman who did the blog. I don't even use email, so it's just my phone number that people can get in touch with me, but if there's anybody that can get an investigative report, I got stuff sitting in the White House, I got stuff sitting in archives that not only will awaken people, but I have solutions. I'm solution-oriented. So, I mean, I have stuff sitting in there back in the 80s where I was falsely accused in a supposed assassination plot against President Reagan. I was interviewed by the Secret Service. It was a total farce. And I have that information I'm looking to pull up as well as other stuff.
Okay. Well, great. And we have two more callers on the switchboard.
Can I just give a comment? Check that out.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on what you said there. If David Walker is a name that many, many Americans know, especially the people in the finance world and all the economists, they all know his name. He was the head of the General Accountability Office under George Bush Jr., and he and I would often exchange emails, and you could search Mr. Walker on YouTube, And Mr. Walker spoke against your president. He said, we are heading for certain bankruptcy in the United States. And he even said when, the date and so on. You can pick that up from the YouTube videos. He said, if America continues on the course it's going now with the black budget that the military has, you know, many people know, your military have essentially all the money they want and it's not accounted for, and then they spend it on who knows what. He said, if this is not to change, the United States by 2017 will have no money for the military, for the Department of Homeland Defense, this new department, and for the Pentagon. So you won't be able to pay your soldiers. So you'll have to rely on foreign soldiers, which is already starting to happen. So
that's exactly right. And on YouTube, look for somebody else from the Bush administration. It's called The Looting of America. Just YouTube The Looting of America.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Okay, we had one caller that was on. They dropped off, but we have another caller. We'll go ahead and bring them on from a 204 area code. Hello, 204. You are on the air with Sylvain Henry. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Gary. It's Sandy calling. Sandy Lee calling. How are you?
Sandy,
all doing?
Hi.
Hi, Sylvain.
Hi,
Sandy. Sylvain. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I waited for a little while, but it was worth the wait.
Well, I'm happy this show is getting callers. It shows that people are interested in peace.
We've got callers. We got callers calling in from all over the world. We're like one-legged people in a butt-kicking contest.
That's awesome. It's great to see, too. That's what the world needs right now.
Yeah. Sandy, I'm very happy with all the work that you're doing for the cause. I understand you're buying light bulbs and sharing it with friends, and you're talking to your bigger community. Tell us how that's going on.
It's going pretty good, actually. One of the posters that I made for the Green Light campaign, I got printed and put them in all the main stores in my little town. And I haven't heard from a lot of people yet, but that was just yesterday, so I'm really hoping for the best. And I have my green light on every day, and I think it's really catching on with a lot of people that I'm talking to, and I had a lot of support yesterday, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens.
I'm sure something will happen. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and we're working on the bumper sticker and also a calendar and a few other things, so I'm hoping that a lot of people bring their pictures in and post them up in the site, and we can get that going, just so that everybody can see how many people around the world are helping this cause, because it's a very important thing for all of us.
Awesome.
I think your idea of the bumper sticker is really good, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
It's because people are often waiting at traffic lights, and they're waiting for the green light. And if they see the bumper sticker saying, go green, go green, or whatever it is you're going to mention, people are going to associate the green light, with our movement. They will think peace every time the green light turns on. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to get some of the specifications all done so that it's printable in that form, and then we can go from there. So I'm hoping that it really turns out good.
That's wonderful. Awesome.
Yeah. And
we also have another caller. We have Ari who joined us. Ari, are you there? You said you had a question for Sylvain.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Gary, for letting me hop in your radio show.
You're welcome. And we have another caller. Ari is from, where are you from? Indonesia, right?
Yes, I am from Indonesia.
Whoa. So, what was your question to have for Sylvain?
It's actually a concern. I've posted the Green Light Project for Peace, and most people are supporting this idea and cause, and they said it's a very honor. But a few others think the way we turn on a green light during the night is like wasting energy. So how can we convince them about this?
Well, my response is, look, we're fighting for peace. We're soldiers of peace. We have no weapons. We have no budget. And people need lights inside their homes at night anyways. You need to have a light in front of your door so people can see your address. So most people have a light there anyway. So you, all we're doing is changing the color of it until peace is obtained, until we have enough people's attention. So, yeah, I've had that comment from other people saying, yeah, that's true. You're asking for peace, but you're, you know, going bad for the environment. You know, this is bad for the environment. I said, no. I said, it's not bad for the environment. If there are no peaceful human beings on this planet, there's nothing more disastrous for the environment than a war, including especially a nuclear war. So I think it's not an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment. And it's not a big investment. You need that light anyways. Just make it go green. So that's how I would respond to them.
And like you said, Sylvan, too, there's a lot of if we put as much money into peace and people as we do in the wars and tanks and airplane fuel and everything else, it would be a much better world anyways. I think the cost is going to be very minimal to all of us.
Oh, it's negligible, right.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I just did a web search on LED light bulbs, and there are some out there that are green in color, and those are very low energy consumption. Now, the entry cost on buying one of those, it looks like the cheapest I've seen so far was like $13. So they're not dirt cheap, but they're not horrendous either, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, actually, at a store called Canadian Tire, I went in there, and they're selling them in individual boxes, 65 watt, I believe, or 60 watts, actually. But I was doing an internet search, and we can easily color our own light bulbs, I believe, I haven't tried this yet, with green permanent markers, which... You know, if you can't find a green light bulb, anything like that would do in a pinch if it shows up pretty good on the light bulb itself.
Yeah, you can do that on the plastic body bulbs like the LEDs. Glass, it doesn't do as well on it because the incandescent types, they get hot and it'll cook off and can release vapors that you don't want to breathe.
Right.
But on the cool light bulbs like the fluorescents and the LEDs, you can do that. You can color the marker.
Okay.
You can also use the glass paint on those too. I was talking about glass paint.
Right, that's right. A good idea too. Because it will take
one
the
thing,
heat.
I'm happy. I just want to mention a point that's very important. Airy is from Indonesia, and as many people know, it's the largest Muslim nation in the world. 160 million Muslims live there. And Islam, the word means peace. And, you know, most Islamic people that I know want peace. So, Airy, if you can make any progress at all with this green light idea in Indonesia, we want to have peace with the Muslims, with the people of a different faith. And because many, many wars are started for religious or by religious groups.
Oh, right, right. You know, and that is a great idea. You know, after all, come on, guys, you know, we're all praying to the same God. And I have to ask the question, hasn't there been enough blood spilled on this earth over the idea of whose God is better than the other? Mm. You know, my God can beat up your God. You know,
that's exactly where it started.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's all the same God, you know, and we can come up with many different shows on that idea, but I just have to ask that question. Hasn't there been enough blood spilt over the idea of God?
Too much.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in the last 100 years, between 1900 and 1999. 200 million civilians and soldiers were killed in wars. And that was before the atomic bomb. I mean, the atomic bomb happened close to the end of it. Now we have nuclear powers everywhere. Imagine the numbers of people. It's a fifth of a billion people killed by wars. So, no, that's enough blood.
It's enough, yeah. It has to be enough.
Exactly.
So, Ari, did you have any other questions or something else you would like to share with us from Indonesia?
Thank you very much for every insight from you guys.
Well, thank you. We're happy to have you participate, you know, in Asia.
Thank you, Ari, from me too, as well.
Hi, Andy. Nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you,
Ari.
Too.
Hi. And
Rachel.
I hope one of my friends from another one of my friends from Belgium, Peter, calls in. I don't know if you have him next. He used to be a mayor of a city in Belgium. Would be nice to have him.
I don't have him on my Skype list, and if one of you who is in this Skype conversation that's patched in happen to have him, go ahead and add him into this conversation, and we can bring him on.
How do we do that?
You go to the conversation up to the top of the little box,
yep.
And you click that, and you say add people.
Add people, yeah.
And then add your friend of that list, and they will ring in and be on the show. Or I would also like to invite any other callers, whether you be in the U.S. or Canada, to please call in with your questions or insights. And that guest call-in number for Blog Talk Radio is 347-324-5239. Again, that's 347-324-5239 to talk to Sylvain Henry.
All right. Oh, good. I was able to find him. I added him. I hope he's not by his computer.
Ari invited him. So hopefully he'll be, if he's by his computer and has his headset on, he'll be talking to us momentarily.
Okay, great.
And if not, that's okay, too.
Well, I'm happy that many people are desiring peace. And they're willing to do something, even if it's small, but a first step towards many other steps that could lead up to peace, world peace.
Right. And again, for the people listening in and those who got in late, we also have a Google site, right, where you talk about citizens want peace, that the list of 1,001 things we can do for peace. And I'll go ahead and put the link to the chat in the chat room. Mm-hmm. And if you have anything else to add to that list, I'm sure, Sylvain, you would welcome that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a link that they can, and a form that they can fill in to add their point directly.
Mm-hmm. And that is sites.google.com/site, S-I-T-E, / citizens want peace, all one word.
Right.
Well, apparently he didn't answer, so he must not be at the computer.
He's at the computer. I just got a message from him. I don't know if I should add him in a separate.
You won't be able to do that without putting this call on hold.
Oh, okay. No, I don't want to do that.
He's got this whole gang call here, and it's just a matter of bringing him in with it.
But if you can add him directly, because I tried
I don't have him on my friends list, so I can't do that.
Oh, okay. But if you can add him, his name is Peter Dotvirisky.
He would have to do that with me because I'm multitasking like all over the place.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
I'm monitoring a lot of other things. I'm monitoring the switchboard, the chat room, and he can go ahead and do that if you want.
Okay.
You don't have any consideration that I'm on the phone either.
And Sandy.
Yeah.
Is that you with all the background noise? Someone has a lot of background noise.
No, it's not me. I hear the noise, though, but I'm not
that
sure.
That was from the other.
Me neither.
I went ahead and muted him. Okay. Yeah, we've got a lot of people on this patched-in call with a lot of different background noises, and I'm trying to minimize some of it so it doesn't come up. It improves the sound quality over the air. So anyway, it
would be a little challenging. Yeah.
It can be. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right.
We were talking earlier about how we've given our power to the group I refer to as the powers that pretend. They pretend.
Okay.
I call them that because they pretend like they have all the power, and
mm-hmm.
we just say, okay. If we didn't say okay, then they wouldn't. But one of the problems is they have now been rolling with this so long that they've tied up most of the property and most of the jobs and the things that the food and the water and the other things that we need to survive. And the only way that we, quote unquote, the non-powers that pretend can take our power back at this point is to free ourselves from the economic system that they have created.
Right.
And to bring about peace, we're going to have to get control over the institutions that they created to make war, or else they're just going to use those institutions to get rid of us. Because let me tell you something that I ran into a few years back. I ended up in the belly of the beast, kind of inadvertently. I didn't realize what I was doing at the time until I was already in it. I had run into a fellow who was a quote-unquote former CIA PSYOPs operative. And I say quote-unquote on former because I don't think they ever let these guys out. If they're really that, they don't let them out. And this guy had a watcher. So he was for real. He had been retired, but he had somebody that was watching him. And she was from an Illuminati family. At any rate, one of the things I learned from him was they want peace too. The difference is it's a whole different kind of peace than the one that the rest of us want. And that's something that we have to be very careful in our definition. We don't just say, I want peace, because there is also the peace of the grave. So we have to be very careful about who we are talking to get them to define what their idea of peace is and to make sure that their idea of peace and ours is the same. And coming together in that collective.
Right, in that
you get
United
the feeling,
Front kind of collective, right.
You want to think that everybody's on the same page, but you really have to kind of do a trust and verify process on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So just FYI on that one.
Well, that's been the issue with this whole Occupy thing, with Occupy Wall Street, Occupy wherever all the occupying has been going on, has been we don't know what they're occupying about. We don't know what the whole thing is about. It has been what these entities, like you call the powers that pretend, what they've been coming back with is that. Because there's no one voice, there's no united front.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Is Peter also online?
Yep.
Hello, Peter.
Our friend Peter is
online. Nice.
Hello, Peter, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. Peace on you too.
Could you come a little closer to your microphone
so
we can hear you a little better?
Okay. Is that all right?
Yes, that's all right. Welcome to today's Avatars with Sylvain Henry. Did you have a question for Sylvain or something else you would like to add?
Well, I've just been for 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour in the show, so I don't have a special question. I got to know Sylvain for a month or three, I think,
mm-hmm.
and I admire his engagement very much, and I support him as much as I can. And, well, as Sylvain said, I was the mayor of my community, and I was a very normal guy until about 10 years ago. I started thinking. I started asking myself questions, and I came to the conclusion that there is a gigantic war that's developing, and it's a war against humanity. They are trying to get us under, they are trying to get us sick, they are manipulating us, exploiting us, controlling us, They are lying to us. They are cheating us. And it's getting worse and worse. And all this has to happen to, let's say, regain our humanity, to regain our rights, to regain our freedom, to regain our dignity. So it's really something very big that's going on. And it's a wonderful thing that we can talk about it on this broadcasting show.
Yes, it is. Yes, and where are you coming from? Where are you?
Well, I'm
on the earth here.
Well, I'm living in this small country where the big European monster is situated in Brussels, in Belgium.
Oh, you're in Brussels as well. Okay, so we have one from Brussels now, or Belgium.
Not so far from Brussels.
Okay.
Let's say 60 miles. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we also have to be mindful of several other things, and you know what comes to my mind, I think, is some spiritual teachings that all the avatars. This show is called Today's Avatars, and it's about how we are all becoming these avatars that we admired in the past, in yesteryear, and how these avatars have all tried to tell us that we are all one.
Yep.
And there is really no us and them, okay? We are all one. We are the same. We are all related, is the. So if we're looking at things like that, that reinforces the illusion, I guess, of duality. And what we need to do is resolve these battles and resolve these things within ourselves. And I think one of the most important pieces of information or energy or whatever you want to call it that has come down through all that has been the energy of Ho'oponopono. And that is in forgiving yourself, loving yourself, forgiving yourself for not seeing everything in the world as being perfect, fixed, and whole at every given moment. And I think as we more and more of us do that, turn our eyes inward, love ourselves and forgive ourselves, and that puts us back in the moment, into the moment, into the now, so we can shift our energy and change it to the next now moment. That is a very important piece of information, I think, to get to the world. There's really no us or them. You know, there's the powers that pretend, the light and the dark, etc. We all have these things going on inside of ourselves. If I look out and I see war and suffering, it's because I have it going on inside of me. And what I have to constantly do, continually, and that's to turn my eyes inward and say four little things. And one of them is, I love you. The next one is, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then, thank you. And it's a simple little practice that puts me back into the now, back into the moment. So with my energy changed, I can go on to the next now moment with my energy shifted. And that resolves, and it's a small step that's taken to resolve the war going on inside of me. And as I do that, my world rearranges itself to become a little bit better. And it's really fascinating how that has been working. And that is a huge message, that the message, the lesson of Ho'oponopono, which is Hawaiian. And it's just a simple act of forgiving yourself, because everything is a mirror, everything is a reflection from what we're carrying walking around with. You know, if I look out and I see anything that I don't like, it's because I have it going on inside of me, and that's what Gandhi was trying to tell us when he said, "Become the change you wish to see." Jesus and all of them down through time have all tried to say the same thing, and that's it's to shift your own energy and change it from within. And as it does it, the rest of the world rearranges itself to present itself to be more and more like that. And that's enough of me, out of me. I'll get off this soapbox and shut up.
Well, and also, too, I must add that...
You could be a wonderful preacher.
I think we're losing Sylvain. I don't know what's going on.
I thought I heard something funny.
Yeah, his Skype is cutting out, I think.
Oh. Uh-oh. I'm having problems with my internet as well today and yesterday, so maybe it's something we're doing, eh? And I was going to say, too, that the longer the reason, or I think the reason that the powers that be get away with what they do is the longer we're silent, they take that as our consent in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So whenever we you know, want to change something, we have to speak out loudly, or else they just think we're consenting.
Well, the problem is they have the weapons.
Right.
That's the big problem.
That can be. Yeah, that can be the essence. You know, when you're staring down the barrel of a loaded weapon, and you're out with nothing. You know, that can be an issue.
Well, the trick is going to be all the weapons in the world will do very little good if they are the only ones willing to continue to wield them. So we've got to reach out to our local police, to the members of our family who are in the military, et cetera, and get them on board. Just say, look, when somebody gives you the order to do something that's wrong, just don't do it. And if everybody does that, it'll be it'll be so much better.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Okay,
we have Hans also calling in from Mexico City. And
yes.
Hans, are you there?
Yes, of course. I'm following the show. It's great that we come together. And thank you very much also to give me the chance to talk a little bit, because I can tell you what's going on here, also in Mexico and in the world. Okay, you listen at me? Is okay my my microphone?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, perfect. Okay, look, I was born in Germany and I immigrated to Mexico 1993, so it's like almost 19 years that I'm living here. And I could see the a lot of changes here, you know. It's not like in the past. People are not so happy like in the past, and they are so brainwashed anyway, because here what is very common that they are watching just soap operas, you know, on TV. And I work as an actor also. I was also in some soap operas, some commercials, and I'm very glad about this, because I could see inside the system how they are doing the things. In fact, some weeks ago, I had to make a translation, locution, I don't know how you say that, for a German program, because the biggest TV company here, the name is Televisa. I don't know if you heard about this, Televisa. And they are selling now all the soap operas to Germany. And I had to make this in German. They gave me the paper to translate it into German and to talk. And they will present they will show this video to the German executives, managers, and whatever. They buy it, and I can tell you what they are doing. They are all the soap operas. They want to let's say brainwash ourselves that we believe that is true what we see there. You know, they are cheating. They are just thinking in money, making business, and everything. And the people think, okay, this is real life. Okay, so they are accepting this. The TV is like brainwashing us, you know, and all the TV shows, like the soap operas, they put hundreds of commercials, even in movies. There's not even one movie complete from the beginning until the end. It's full of commercials. So we became a consumer world, you know, and we are making more rich, the richest ones, and meanwhile we are very poor. In Mexico we have the richest guy of the world. It's the name is Carlos Slim. You know, Carlos Slim is richer than the Microsoft guy. You know, the computer guy.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, exactly. He's not anymore the richest guy. So what happened? He is Carlos Slim. Okay, let me tell you. Yesterday I had a great opportunity to make an interview because I also do some live shows like you. But yesterday I was personally with my laptop making an interview and subbed it later to my YouTube channel. And this guy was working like a reporter many years ago. Now he's retired. And he told me not only his things, because they are also a little group, you know, the reporters, they are friends, they're having their reunions and they're passing information and everything. And the whole system here, Mexico, and for sure in all the world, is like a fraud, you know. There's only some guys ruling the whole world, not just Mexico. They're making business with the biggest drug dealer, the Chapo Guzman, who is selling drugs all over the world, even to Europe and everything. It's a business. All this thing is business and controlling. This is what it's about. And the people are trained by watching all the TV and everything. They're having fear. They don't like to act.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is the biggest problem at all, because I was talking here with my neighbors even about the green lights, and they say, it's you know, always excuses. It's very, very difficult to get them moved, that they do something. The people, they like just to obey. They are thinking in how to pay the bills, the credit cards and everything, because they are just buying what they are watching on TV, what is announced, the newest products, what they want to sell us, mm-hmm. which are also made that they are not working forever. You know, there's the controlled obsolescence, or how you say that, you know. So the people are much different than in the past. When I arrived to Mexico, it was always like, my house is your house, you want something more, where can I take you, when can I see you and everything. And today, even when I call to my friends, what are you doing this weekend? I'm busy, or I want to rest, something, or I'm just watching TV, you know. And it's not like in the past. So the people are, aren't the same like in the past. And
right.
They are, I mean, this is the problem, because all the people, they want peace.
Yes, and I hate to interrupt, but we've got a minute and 30 seconds left in the show.
Oh, shit.
And
I
just
want to
thank everyone. I want to thank you, Kenner. Thank you, Ari and Hans and Sylvain and Peter and everyone for joining us, and for you, Sandy.
Thank
and
you, Gary.
All of you.
Thank you, Gary.
This has really
Thank
been an amazing show, and we will do it again in the near future, hopefully. And, yeah, there's a lot of things we can do to identify the problem. And I don't want to live in the problem. I want to live in a solution. We do have solutions to each and every one of these. The power is within all of us. That power, like I said earlier, that power is within you. And as soon as you become mindful of that power will emerge. And it will feed you, it will clothe you, it will house you, it will guide you and protect you. It will sustain your very existence. The only thing you need to do is allow it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
we can change it.
We can change it. And love and forgive yourselves, all of us. And we can identify problems all over the place. The problems are like stars in the sky. And also, so are solutions.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you very much for your time and for being in the show.
Thank you, Hans, and thank you for calling in and adding your insights as well. And thank you, Kat.
Okay.
I know Kat dropped off. We've got 10 seconds left.
World peace, and we have to continue with this.
Yes.
Peace, Hans.
Get a green light bulb for peace and turn it on in your
house. Peace and blessings to all of you.
Peace, Harry.
Bye-bye.
Love y'all.
Love you all.
Again, I will see you.
Thanks, Gary.
great.
Talk to you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.